Are the sword in the darkness. We are the shield that guards the realms of men. We are Game of Microphones.
Good morrow and welcome to Game of Microphones. I'm Lord Sterling, Sir Duncan the Fearsome, here with my co-hosts, Princess Sarah of House von Daltrin, Archmaester Stitches from the Luminescent Citadel in the Siren Isle, and Lord Zach of House Bruce. How are you guys doing today?
Devastated.
Oh, it looks like we may have lost Sarah. You're better, you said?
Medicating.
Oh man, what a rush.
Yeah, what a crazy episode. What a crazy episode. I was not expecting Rhaegal to get shot out of the sky there. That caught me off guard.
I wasn't expecting to see his fucking brains and blood fly out of his skull.
Dude, right? How crazy was that?
That was brutal, man. Fucking brutal.
Oh. Yeah, so brutal. What'd you think, Zach?
Yeah, we've all praised how in-depth, detailed, realistic, and just excellent the dragon CGI has been.
Yeah.
And
they giveth and they taketh away.
They do. Oh, man. Speaking
Talk
of...
Talk about the 1-3 punch.
Yeah, and things that they giveth and taketh away. I mean, what the hell happened with Ghost in this episode? Like, I mentioned this to you before, Johnny. That just lost Jon Snow my vote for King. That is unacceptable. Not even giving him a scratch behind the ears when you send him off to North.
If you needed any more foreshadowing that Jon is going to eat it, you got it in this episode. He gave his dog away. Everybody said how much they love him.
Right.
No one else got that send-off like that. It's like, ah, he's going to do something really heroic.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Ugh.
What was the most shocking moment of this episode for you, Zach?
Obviously, Rhaegal getting shot and killed and just boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. I was like, how are they reloading their, you know, ballistas or whatever they're calling them? But then it's like, oh, my God, Euron has his whole fleet is armed with those things. And they're on these huge freaking things that basically big pan tilt zoom for a huge scorpion ballista. It's like, oh my
Damn.
God, this is horrible. And then they had the same thing on the walls of King's Landing, not just the Red Keep, but those were like the city walls, right? Of the whole city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It said like the dragons are basically useless at this point, right? I mean, the whole King's Landing is surrounded by ballistas.
Gotta come
exactly
in from the top.
Dragon defenders.
Just straight down from the top.
Maybe.
You know,
straight down.
That you make a good point, you know, without obviously getting to like the midichlorians of all of it. But I mean, I wonder how much freaking Danny was paying attention. And I know it's emotional losing a kid, but it's like, okay, if I come in high enough, these things can't get me. You know,
right.
So maybe she can dive bomb. Hopefully.
Oh, man. So Cersei tells Euron that she's pregnant with his child. But if she was pregnant, it would probably be from Jaime, right? So when Tyrion is standing front of the gates there and he's like, for your child, you know, Euron must be like, how the fuck does the imp know that she's pregnant? You know, if I just got her pregnant after they were all gone, that should be a red flag to Euron that she was already pregnant. You know what I mean?
I don't think Euron would give a shit either way.
Right, as long
as claim it as mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that dude's long for the world anyway. I really don't. I think that guy's definitely going to eat it pretty quick.
After killing a dragon.
I mean, yeah, Daenerys is going to fuck him up. They had that stare down. You know, she got a good sight like that little motherfucker right there. right before she pulled up.
Yeah, I wanted her to like break off her approach as she was flying right at Euron's fleet and then just swoop around, miss all the fire, and then come in from the flank. Same thing in the loot train battle. My only issue with loot train battle.
I was like, how quick can they swivel those things around backwards without blowing through their sails or whatever?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's what my dad said. He was like, you should just fly around and come from the back. They can't turn the ships that fast. But, you know, thinking in the heat of the moment when all the chaos is occurring, it's kind of hard to, you know, be rational potentially and think strategically. What a rough situation. Man, this episode had so much crazy stuff happening in it. Gendry proposes to Arya. Gendry gets legitimized. How cool was
It started off as this beautiful, like, lovey-dovey drink and fuck fest. And it's like, all right, this is Game of Thrones. Right? All right, something's going to happen. This is just too good. Like, too nice, too happy. But yeah, man, Gendry got legitimized. That was freaking epic.
Yeah.
You know, gets his dad's freaking homeland. And, I mean, that's so worth it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when she first calls him up, Gendry, that's your name, right? As he's walking by, I was like, oh, shit, his dad is the usurper. Dany is going to be pissed. You know, I thought she was going to be really mad that he was, you know, doing his thing. And but instead, after a couple seconds, I realized that she's probably going to, once she mentioned Storm's End, like, who's the Lord of Storm's End now? I was like, oh my God, she's about to legitimize him and make him a lord. Yep. And that was just so freaking cool.
I thought Sam was going to pipe up and say, oh, Lord Fossaway of the Red Apples is now freaking.
That's great. The Red Apples. I haven't heard about the Fossaways in a while. That's some good book action right there, man.
Yeah. I was trying to think of some random house from the Stormlands or something like that. So, man, but shocking. I mean, call me dumb, but I never thought the show was really going to go there with Brienne and Jaime on a romantic level.
Right?
And
that was pretty surprising.
Yeah, but
very
check
surprising
out what you got
me.
There. You got a deep kiss and a nice cutaway. You know, we couldn't do that last time with the other scene.
True. I think we have Princess Sarah back. Can you hear us, Sarah?
I can hear you now.
Okay, awesome.
Yay!
I think you're echoing, though, Duncan.
I'm echoing? Okay, hold on a sec. Okay, how about that? Is that better?
Yep.
Huh, now you're echoing. Oh, man. Just
both
can't win, huh?
Going from my side. Yeah, everybody's coming in fine on my side too.
Oh, Sarah's okay? Okay, cool. It's just I'm hearing her in Skype and on the call then, because I brought her in through Skype separately.
Okay.
Yeah. As long
she's
as you're
on
only echoing
side.
In my ears, it's cool. Sarah, welcome.
Oh,
back.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Oh God, there's two of her. Welcome back. How'd you like this episode, Princess Sarah?
I loved this episode.
Nice. What was
this
your favorite
was like
part?
Everything that I needed.
Good to hear it. What was your favorite part? What shocked you the most?
Well, I think there's like obvious things that shocked us, like, you know, dragons passing away again.
Oh, that was, oh my God. Hurt my heart.
I did not see it coming. I was
neither
so not
I.
ready for it.
It's just when he's looking good and healthy again and everything, and then she's smiling at him, and I'm like, oh, he's flying better now. You know, he's on the mend. Cool. Even the holes in his wings look smaller, and then right in the chest. And I was like, oh, he's fucking dead, dude. Like, one hits him, that means he's about to get stuck like a pincushion. And then right through the neck, another couple in the torso, then finally right through the dome piece. And I was so shocked that, like, I wanted to cry, but I was like beyond that point. I was just like completely blank at that point, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I hated losing Rhaegal, man. That was so fucked up. And
I was scared they were gonna pull like a Skyward freaking Red Wedding on us there for a second, because I was the same way, like, oh man, I gotta mourn this dragon. But as soon as I do, I was like, no, what if they blow like Daenerys and the other one out of the sky? I mean, at this point, would that really shock anybody? I mean, leave
that's
it all in the hands of Jon.
Yeah,
I was scared for Tyrion. I was scared for Tyrion on the decks of the ship.
Yeah, those huge.
I was too.
They just like the giant boat too, man.
Just right. Like the giant arrow at Castle Black.
Yeah.
I saw the imp just getting impaled by one of the arrows. That's it.
They came around that corner and there was all those ships sitting there and they just
Does that guy not have the most badass looking fleet ever, though?
I know he's a bad guy.
We're supposed to not like him, but those ships are fucking sweet
the
as
sails
fuck.
Going out. I like that one with the arms.
The gold sitting in the water, or the armor like resting up on the water. The way it, like, it's got some kind of weird ass wrap around the bottom part of the boat. It looks fucking just super like a tank on water. It's fucking
so
epic
cool, looking. Right? Yeah. So yeah. Epic.
And so that was being epic. Scared. Being scared for Tyrion moment number one. I mean, I really thought he was about to like, oh, this is how the Last Jedi was supposed to go down. A bunch of lasers flying through Luke, a bunch of arrows are about to fly through Tyrion right now on screen. They haven't done a death like that yet where somebody gets hit with like 400 arrows at once.
Yeah, not exactly. That's, for
I
sure.
I was freaking out. Like, she's just got that power in her hand right in that moment to be like, loose.
I know. I thought she was going to do it. I thought we were going to lose Tyrion and Missandei simultaneously. Sarah Larkham on Facebook says, I have dragon dying PTSD. That is understandable, Lady Sarah.
This is our therapy for our PTSD.
Yep. This is your free therapy session. Thank you for joining. I'm your psychiatrist, Dr. Duncan. There's nothing to worry about. I'll take good care of your brain. Pete Clark says they all act like they can't see the wolf, like he's a ghost or something. Man.
At least they acknowledged him this time.
Yeah, barely. Oh, his ear was torn off. Do you guys see that?
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't
I
even recognize him at first. Like he was all covered in blood and dirt and he was like looked more like Grey Wind or something, you know? So when we first saw him, I didn't even really look. I was kind of distracted, I think, taking notes at the same time. But my parents are in town and my mom's like, is that ghost? And I was like, oh my God, I think it was. And he's just splattered with blood. And I mean, you know, it's tough because he grew up with John. We want him to be with John, but it's true. In the North, he'll have like free range to hunt and to do his thing. And Tormund and the wildlings are like his type of people. You know what I mean? So it's not like I'm pissed at John.
But,
like,
I mean,
mad at John, man.
John's gonna go out having his dog by his side, man. I mean, or his wolf by his side. It just feels like, yeah, I'm a Targaryen now. I don't need this no more here.
Right. That's fucked up.
Be safe with you.
How about that when she's talking with John and I was like, oh shit, they never got a chance to finish their conversation about who's the heir, etc. And I was mad at Dany telling John to not be who he is. You know, and to hide his identity and not to tell anybody, that's wrong. You can't. It won't even matter if you don't want it. People will back you to take what's mine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a second. You just admitted that he's the rightful heir.
Yours.
So it's not yours. That you have the problem here. You need to reconcile with reality that it's not yours. And she mentions again that. Being that my rightful throne. I was like, but you know, it's not. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
not.
Yeah, that's. Which I think
is another thing. I feel like obviously Sansa can't keep a secret. We learned that in 2 seconds.
Yeah, how crazy was that? Yeah. She swore to
but
John.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, how much allegiance is she really going to have to John? We've seen them like not get along way more than we've ever seen them get along.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
If, you know, and
well,
she
it's
trusts
funny
Tyrion.
How much allegiance does she have to him? She breaks his word to him to for her allegiance to him as the ruler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like breaking her allegiance for her allegiance to him, which is mind fuck.
Right. And I feel like, I mean, they're of course speculating, but I just feel like it's going to just rapidly spread. They already told us that if 8 people know, hundreds of people will know later. And I feel like it's going to get across, it's going to get to Cersei. And that way, when he does die, which I just see happening now, I mean, I wasn't sure until this episode, but man, they're not going to waste all that Herschel moment on this guy for no reason. They're just not.
Right.
That was a goodbye episode. He's not coming back to the North. They even said that. Bad things happen when men from the North go to the South. Mm-hmm. And it's just too much foreshadowing. Here's my dog. There's that. But now if everybody in the kingdom finds out that John was the rightful ruler, and then he dies in another epic hero moment, which is why he didn't kill the Night King, obviously, at this point, something big is going to happen, some massive sacrifice. So when she takes that throne, this should have been his, like that kind of thing. I mean, it's all speculation, but fuck.
For some reason, our YouTube stream is not working. That's weird.
I think she's just saying, like, if you don't want it, give it to me, and no one has to know.
Right. Yeah, and but so she's still for her, telling him to deny who he is, to hide his identity, after not knowing for so long.
Oh, no, it's not cool.
That's so fucked up. But yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah,
she's got it,
that,
it doesn't matter.
And it's mine! They took my dragons to the Tower of the Undying, I got them back! I mean, she just went right back into that. I got so undone.
Sorry.
Burn them all. Make the red keep.
Is our
like
stream still going on Facebook? Looks like we got disconnected.
Yeah,
I'm like
hang on. Sorry, my wolf is trying to get in. Hold on.
See, like she's not saying like goodbye to her ghost. She's keeping her ghost around.
Who drove
on Facebook?
Sarah said her wolf was trying to get in.
Yeah. She's got a wolf too.
She's not just saying goodbye and leaving it in the north forever.
Yeah. She cares about
that
her wolf.
Fucked up, man.
I know. I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that. So totally brutal. What else did we have? We had some crazy things happening this episode. Like we mentioned, Gendry was legitimized, which we all called, right. You know, saw that coming from a mile away. We get that crazy funeral at the beginning of the episode. What did you guys think about that? That was pretty sad. That was rough.
You know, that was very rough. And I really thought for a moment, like, Drogon was going to come by and, like, set the pyres ablaze before they did the torch scene.
Yeah, that huge field of them. That would have been the coolest, yeah. Man. That would have been so awesome if they did that.
But I guess that wouldn't have been very funeral rites. Like, that bitch just burned all these bodies.
Right.
What the hell?
It's an honor to be roasted by a dragon.
Yeah. The dragon fire is so powerful. It was like, it would just, like, blow up the whole thing.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, the Stark.
God, that was
the
awesome.
Little Stark pin that Sansa put on Theon's, you know, whatever his shirt he was wearing. That was like, oh man.
Yup. So
was that like, what was that? Was that like something just out of her hair, or I was lost on that?
I'm not sure.
Is this the badge of the wardeness of the North? What is he just?
I think it's just signifying that she considers him a Stark.
Yeah, basically. Some type of just like Stark pin that she had, and she's like, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's cementing that he's a Greyjoy, but also a Stark, just like a cool symbolic thing. But yeah, right. It's just some sort of like pin she had on her. It was cool.
Yeah, that's
like
what I was guessing. I mean, I figured it was, I mean, I got the emotion of the scene, but I'm always, you know, looking deeper. I'm like, whoa, hold on. What is this?
Oh my God. So there's a funny meme that I saw the other day where there's a picture of Theon holding the bow and it's like Theon. And then there's a picture of Theon dead on the ground. And it was like the off. And so, we're watching the episode and Theon's dead on the pyre there. And my dad's like, who is that? And I was like, the off, you know, classic moment.
It's terrible. We got a mention of the new Prince of Dorne. We don't know who he is.
Oh yeah. Prince of Dorne.
Apparently.
What's up with that?
There's somebody down there.
Hey to everybody in the chat room. We got Pete Clark. We got Lori Perkins. We got Corey Eugene Kuhn, the last High Gardener of High Garden. What is up? Mary DeBold. How you guys doing? Johnny Storr, Amber Caldwell, Audrey Reifler. Man, what a crazy episode. And then Arya is shooting her bow, hiding away while everybody's hanging out at the party. And they're like, where's the hero of Winterfell, right? What's she doing? And it turns out that she is just shooting her bow, partying herself. And Gendry goes to find her. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, you know, it was expected that he would propose to her because he obviously has a thing for her. But
yeah, he's wanting to do right by their deed and all that kind of thing, and he loves her.
Yeah. You know. but it made perfect sense that she turned him down, because, you know, that whole season one callback, that's not me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still really sad, though.
Dude, if she would have sit there and said, yes, I'd have been like, what?
Yeah, this does not make sense.
What am I watching? What is turning into a soap opera?
Yeah, exactly. Some people on the internet are like, Arya's, now that she's killed the Night King, Arya is going to be done with her quest for death and become more, you know, regain her humanity. It's like, she's got plenty of humanity, and she's the ultimate badass, so she's going to keep that.
Hell yeah.
That's right.
Definitely. So, she's not expecting to come back from King's Landing, did she say, either?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't think, stop it. Don't talk like that.
Well, you know, if there was a reason for her to come back, she just kind of shot that down. So I don't think she's going to make it either.
Yeah.
I don't see her walking out of the show. As sad as it is.
It was really sad that Jaime left Brienne after all of that, after everything they've been through, and culminating in this amazing moment where they come together and get together and everything. And he realizes that. He realizes something. It's not quite clear. He says, she's hateful. I'm hateful too. But I think he hates her at this point. And it made him so mad that she just killed a dragon and took out Dany's fleet that he's like, I think he's going down there to try to kill her.
He fucking loves her, man. I mean, it sucks. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. He loves her. I mean, I think he's going down there to try to like spare her, like find a way to jerk her out of that situation. The only reason he went north is because he committed. He said he would do it, and he's trying to get his honor back. Now that's out of the way. He did his duty, saying he's going to spare them from the realm of the dead. They're gone.
But he loves Brienne, you know, like he decided to stay with her, knowing that.
But he was laying in bed awake after banging her. Like,
that's true.
I miss Cersei. Like, I can't do this. This isn't me.
That's fucked. You know, and if he's going to go back. I think
this is a loose prediction. I think you're going to see some sort of almost showdown between, because he pushed Bran out of a window. So hear me out here. It's pure speculation. But I think he's going to go down there and try to save her. And then we're chipping Arya to come in there and like ex machina this situation. Well, she's already killed the Night King. She's not going to kill Cersei too. Right. I think we're going to see Jaime kill Arya.
Kill Arya? Oh, man. Like, that would be crazy. That would be shocking.
I know. I know. But I mean, come on. This is Game of Thrones. I mean, it's not like they're just going to like fire roast Cersei, end of show. Yay! You know?
Johnny Storr is saying he's mad that Jon didn't pet Ghost before he left. I was mad at that too. That made me.
Yeah,
legit,
or give a bear hug.
Yeah, like show some sort of affection. Like we've seen nothing. Like, that's one of the things that, one of the biggest letdowns of this entire show is the lack of anything with Ghost recently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially since, I mean, isn't Ghost the runt
of
the litter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, here's this poor dog that was like almost left for dead when its brothers and sisters got picked up.
And then being abandoned by his family again. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the look in that dog's face wasn't like, good luck, master. It was like, what the fuck? Really?
Yeah,
he was whimpering.
Like, you can be here with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was whimpering.
Yeah, it was pretty messed up.
Gonna get drunk and like leave me out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So
do we think Cersei is pregnant by Euron or Jaime?
Good question.
I don't even know anymore. Up until this episode,
she's showing,
I was
at least, or
he was full of shit. But I don't know. I guess she's preggers for real.
Yeah, seems so.
And Gilly.
Hey, Gilly.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was sweet.
I'm so happy. I told.
Are Sam's Night's Watch vows null and void now that the long night is like over? You know what I mean? Like now the Night King is dead. Are all of the Black Brothers released from their vows? Can he like do his thing now with chicks?
I think it's more now that the wildlings aren't their enemy anymore.
How many Night's Watches left anyway?
Yeah, not many. It's pretty much defunct at this point. That's a good point.
Yeah, they didn't show her.
Build a road right by Eastwatch.
Yeah, they didn't show very many come down with Ed. So, I don't know. most everybody that each watch probably got killed, except for Tormund and Beric. Of course, they escaped.
Yeah, it's possible.
The show's going to have some, like, epic cutscene where, like, some Children of the Forest pushes one of those blades into Tormund's heart and just starts all over again.
Oh, my God, dude. That'd be hilarious. Tormund is the new Night King. He's like, that'd be hilarious.
Poor Tormund is all heartbroken.
I know. That was funny.
Oh, no.
We got that cool throwback to the season 2 drinking game of Tyrion's, which was kind of fun. Oh, yeah. And they're all playing, and Jamie's getting drunk. I thought for sure Brienne was drunk there. She was acting drunk, but it turns out she was faking it. Wasn't even drinking. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah. That was funny. And I thought it was kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily say low blow, but I was surprised when Tyrion was like, "You're a virgin." I was like, damn, just calling her right out on it.
She's drunk. I mean,
true. And Jamie had a funny line too, where he said, "I've never slept with a knight before."
That's great.
Like, that's probably good. That's kind of like reminded me of what Lady Olenna said to Tywin growing up, you know, and being a knight with the squires and everything. "You never had any thoughts about any of the boys around you?" And he's like, "No." Same with Jamie. Never slept with any knights. He'd never slept with anybody except Cersei until this episode, right?
Yep.
Pretty fucked up that he left Brienne after that, and it was really rough watching her crying when he left.
Broke her heart, man.
Yeah,
like a 3-night stand.
Yeah, it's like, especially the whole thing with Brienne is this distrust of men, right? We talked about that a lot on the episode a couple weeks ago, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, mm-hmm. where she, like, Jaime finally earns her trust and cracks her shell, and this proves it, that, like, she was, like, willing to be intimate with him and, like, open up herself to him metaphorically and literally, and he just fucking destroyed that trust, you know, like, he totally, this may damage her psychologically as much as any of those past events, you know, like, she finally opens herself up and then somebody does some bullshit like that.
Yeah, he leaves her completely jilted, not at the altar, but jilted.
Nothing happens for no reason in this show, I feel like, and we got this super, like, hookup this season with all these different people, Gendry and Arya, Jaime. I mean, what if we're talking like some future sequel series where you got like Brienne's baby and Cersei lives long enough to give birth, and then you have Arya's child?
Yeah, that's my mom possibly. Was saying. Maybe Arya's pregnant now.
All these babies are about to happen. They're all going to be like the same age.
The next generation, now that we've survived the long night.
Game of babies.
Totally. We got to see Hound and Sansa, though.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty interesting.
Talk.
I was, waiting for that. That was a really interesting little talk that they had. You know, he was like, "You've changed." And she took his hand and, like, was like almost giving him the eyes like she was giving Theon last week or a couple weeks ago. I felt like it was really just a interesting interaction between the two. I'm not sure how to interpret it. What did you guys think about that?
I think the Hound's going to live. And I think obviously Sansa's going to live, being way up in the north for the rest of the series. And I know that everybody has been, but there's some sort of, I don't want to say like they're going to get together, but I see him returning back to Winterfell after it's all done, like, or back up there after he kills the Mountain. And I hope that happens. I don't want to see like this weird ass stalemate where like they take each other out or some bullshit. I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Like,
I'd really like
much
to see the Hound make it through this.
I do too.
Because he gave that smile when she walked away. And that was like, why did they pan in on him for that? What is the purpose of that? Except for, this is someone nice. I really got a lot of feelings for her. I want to come up here and protect her. You know,
well, like you said, Arya, "I should have fucked her bloody when I had the chance." You know, so he's obviously thought about Sansa before in like a more intimate way. You know, this episode too. Go ahead, Johnny. Sorry,
doesn't really matter as much, but I feel like the Hound almost is probably a virgin as well.
I said that too. Watching it, I totally said that too. I don't think he's ever had sex.
So if he goes back up there to protect Sansa, what is the Hound and Brienne have in common, their mutual love to protect this girl, you know, and I could see something like them getting together just out of respect. And obviously, you know, I mean, once he kills his brother, what is he going to be lusting after? There's no, you know, I mean, he built that sept a few seasons ago. He wants peace. It's there in him. He really wants it, but he can't rest until he gets rid of the mountain, you know?
Yeah. That's his whole series arc, you know, like the Szechuan sauce in Rick and Morty. That's our series arc, Morty. We need that Mulan Szechuan sauce, Morty. Oh, come on. You guys don't watch Rick and Morty? That's the best. Best show. If you want a good cartoon to watch, check out Rick and Morty. What was that, Zach?
Oh, that bastard, the necromanced mountain, took Missandei's head off.
Oh my god, right? That was so rugged.
Yeah,
I called that immediately.
I thought it was going to be more gruesome than after seeing fucking Rhaegal's head. Just like, I mean, you could literally, I swear, if you go back and pause it, they like sent chunks of brain matter with the blood out. That way there's like no mystery. That dragon's dead.
Yeah.
You know?
I
felt like if the dragon was that brutal, what the hell is the mountain going to do to Missandei? Is he going to just like thrust that sword through her chest and then like squeeze her head or something? I'm like, what? You know, so I
split her right down.
The decapitation was rough.
Yeah, but
at least it was quick.
Yeah. I did predict he would behead her, which is just, you know, sort of his style. I just swipe. But yeah, I mean, he does he is very vicious and brutal as well. Like, anything could happen.
Cut her in half and then kick her off.
Yeah. That's what he did to Elliot Martell. Cut her right in half, right?
Right. That's what I thought, that we'd get some kind of callback. But, you know, I mean, it's still, no matter what, it sucks. I mean, I know we're attached to her and she's been with us for a long, long time. But I know that the internet gets all up in arms about this comment, but I'm really, when we got two episodes left now, and the body count is not jumping up at all. So unless I don't see them wiping everybody out in like one episode. I mean, they might, but they're not gonna be able to give them enough camera time to do it justice. So I think a lot more people are gonna live than we have predicted in this series.
Yeah, it's possible. Johnny, is there any way you can get your mic a little closer to you? I think your volume is just a little bit lower than all the rest of us.
Yeah, I can do that.
Awesome. What? Yeah.
Tyrion's a G, though, walking straight up to Cersei like the... He never even cares.
Yep. After Tyrion didn't get impaled on the ship, he walked up there and all the archers drew their arrows. I thought Cersei was going to do it.
I thought so, too.
That was going to set something off. That was going to set something off right there. And maybe save Missandei.
Yep. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, man. This was so many crazy things happening here. Like you mentioned, Tormund was so sad. It was really sad to see Tormund sad. After Brienne, she's all embarrassed and about being called out for being a virgin. And she stands up and like, I have to piss. You know? I thought it was very unladylike, you know, which I just thought was pretty funny. And Tormund went to go follow her and Jaime stands up and blocks him. That was pretty funny. I liked how Brienne called him out too. You sound rather jealous. It's like, I do, don't I? He didn't waste any time starting to strip when he got in that room too. He was like, she's a virgin, this is happening, you know. he's like, it's you keep your room warm, you know, and it starts immediately taking off his clothes. I was like, oh man, he's just going getting right into it, you know. No hesitation.
Yeah, I don't have no doubt that he loves Brienne. I just think he loves Cersei more.
Oh, it's fucked up, man.
And I think in that moment he was thinking this could be something, and then when the deed was done, when he was laying there, that's not who he was thinking about. He was staring up, going, "I miss Cersei." I mean, it was all over his face when he's laying there.
Damn! Yeah.
I mean, just like when we saw.
Well,
Arya's
he knew Cersei was like
episode.
In.
Oh yeah, Arya and Gendry. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she had that same like, you know, this isn't what I want look on her face. I mean, this was fine and great, but this isn't who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that was a parallel between those two, which is another reason I think they're going to fire off at each other.
Yeah, something that connects the two of them.
Parallels, yeah.
Bounce off each other in the near future, quite possibly.
Sorry,
quite
Sarah.
Possibly.
What were you going to say?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I think once Jaime realized that they're going for blood with Cersei, he knew he loved her. He knew that he had to do something. He knew that he wasn't done with her.
Yeah.
So what drove Jaime's decision making at that point? Because he had previously said that he was going to stay in Winterfell as Sansa's honored guest, but then they got the message about a dragon being killed. So I guess he's thinking that since Dany lost a dragon, she's just going to go in and torch everything. Mm-hmm. So Jaime needs to get back and help Cersei. I'm just trying to get in Jaime's mind.
Well, they originally had said that they were going to be very basically try to be as diplomatic as possible on this battle, like not spare people. So I think in his mind, he was hoping there might be a chance of her being captured and imprisoned. Mm-hmm. And then when he hears that a dragon died, oh shit, no, it's on. It's going to be fire and blood. I mean,
but Cersei would be even more in more danger with two dragons, you know? So from my perspective, I was thinking that Dany just like was a big reason that humanity survived here. And Cersei just killed one of the dragons. And I thought Jaime was like pissed off when he said, she's hateful and so am I. To me, I interpret it as he now is like hateful towards Cersei. And so I thought he was going down there to try to take her out.
Oh, I hope so.
Man, that would be the coolest fucking moment of the series is to see him come in and like freaking just put a knife through her or a sword through her. That'd be so epic.
Right?
He's not going to do that with this baby in there. He's just not. He's not wired like that.
Oh,
that's
true.
Not his character.
That's right. He thinks she's pregnant.
Arya would.
Yeah.
Lots of theories or Lord speculation about Arya using her skills.
I
think
Arya's
going to
faceless man skills
to use those skills, but I don't think it's going to pay off. I think we got our Arya moment already.
Yeah, it's possible. Lord Bryson of House Wolf is asking, do we think Arya would have stayed with Gendry if he wasn't the Lord now? She wouldn't have to be a lady.
No.
Nope. I don't think
so. No, I think if she goes, let's say in a perfect world, she goes down there and kills the mountain, kills Cersei, clears her list. They win the day. Her brother gets on the throne. It's all, you know, super happy. I could see her being like the Gendry booty call. Like, hey, is your wife out of town? What's up? How you doing? How you been? This castle looks great. I really miss you. Let's go look at dragon skulls or something.
That's funny.
I mean, she's going to be a freaking a warrior, an assassin, a fucking... I mean, just because this battle's over doesn't mean like all the people of the Seven Kingdoms are just going to bow to Jon or Daenerys. There's going to be no more problems left. She realizes her life is that of a soldier, a warrior, an assassin.
She's not going to go sit in a castle and chill out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't want any props for what she did or anything.
Right. Yeah. Those
and likewise, I see Gendry never like taking a wife. I see him like being that stoic, you know. Yeah, I know I need to father the Baratheon line, but maybe she is pregnant. So he gets that baby and ends up raising that to be the next, you know, Baratheon. Always loves her so much that he can't, you know, move on, that kind of thing. I could see some kind of tragic, you know, love story kind of thing happen between them two. They set it up
over
perfectly.
Her for the rest of her life, or the rest of his life. He's just kind of the way.
And
that,
again,
like,
I see her still. If she lived, I could see her visiting. Now, if she eats it, I could see him moving on.
Right. It is kind of remindful, you know, that concept though of King Robert, who pined over the death of Lyanna Stark until the end of his days. You know, so it's fitting for his family tree that he would feel this way for a long time. And it's definitely tragic that it's definitely not it's not working out like that. You know.
Sure. But Derek Pacheco says Gendry is going to call Hot Pie to be his main advisor.
Nice.
That's good.
Oh, Lizzie Arizari Alvarez says, remember, 8 people, not a secret anymore. It's information. Oh man, the truth is coming out about Jon Snow. Yeah. It's going to be fucked to see how that plays out.
Well, I think we know where Varys is standing now on the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was
pretty.
This
pretty
whole
intense.
Lead up to this to season 8, I was like, does Varys have some? I kept saying treachery in reference to Dany. Does Varys have some treacherous role yet to play? And I mean,
Sir Patrick,
it looks like
would
he's backing
yes.
John. Exactly. Sir Patrick, I mean, he must be like, God, put it on.
I know it.
All the tinfoil. But he's backing John because he thinks John will be the better ruler and thus better for the people, better for the realm. So that appears to be the beginnings of a rift inside of John v. Dany.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Bummer for sure.
Yeah.
But you can't expect
Johnny
anything Storr less from Varys. He's always been that way.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny Storr says, I guess talk about Varys that he's a traitor.
Yeah, but he did tell her to her face. You know, he was like, I swore that if I had a problem, I would tell you to your face. And he did. So I was really proud of him there. Because we were wondering if he would, like, go behind her back to, you know, to do this kind of stuff if he did end up having a problem with the way she was leading. So at least he stayed true to his word. But I do feel like he's probably going to start backing John or something.
Yeah.
Or he's
going to
release the information.
True. Send it out with all those little birds.
Or someone.
Oh,
we
man.
We all know that Varys knows. He calls it. He says it's not a secret. It's information. And his whole thing is information is power.
Yep.
Well, yeah. And he also, they made the foreshadow that hundreds of people will know this, like, soon.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
then thousands.
I mean, do you guys think that...
Go ahead, Johnny. Sorry.
You think that episode 6 is going to be, like, at least the back half of it's going to be kind of epilogue style? Because if so, that information would feed into that. Like, passing into to the lore of the land kind of thing, you know, that this was the forgotten Targaryen or something, or the hidden Targaryen or something like that. Like, he'll have some epic name, you know, attached to his other 80 titles. you know.
Titles. Yeah, the Dragon Wolf. Oh man,
I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Katrina Pettigo says, did anyone else notice how quote crazy Dany looked this episode, especially when she spoke with John? But we also have to remember that she's always been around people who love her and admire her. She isn't getting that now, and she's turning mad.
Well, she has reason to be mad. Angry mad, not crazy.
Looking
mad.
More and more crazy.
You notice that
and she's
too?
She's in a land where because she's in a land where everybody's just going, yeah, well, she did help us, but, like, I mean, it feels like a bunch of people are still, like, pissing on the power that she brought, and I understand. I mean, they stated in there that Arya killed the Night King, but even Arya gives her props, like, we couldn't have done it without her. I mean, it wouldn't have happened. Yeah. Like, she wouldn't have got that far. So, I mean, it really does suck, and I think seeing somebody so close to her, like Missandei, is just, and we get that cinematic, here comes the father side of her. I mean, she's about to fucking just rain down on that place, man. I'm so ready.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Oh, Jimmy Young says, when Dany and her fleet were heading towards Dragonstone and she looked at Rhaegal, I had gotten a bad feeling. And seconds later, Rhaegal gets shot down. Well, that makes one of us, because I did not see that coming.
No, I didn't see that coming either. I thought, honestly, when they kept showing the holes in his wings, I thought, oh, they're foreshadowing that in the final battle, he's going to, like, not be able to, like, maintain altitude, or he's going to easily, I thought he was going to get taken down, like, during that battle, because when she sees him kind of fly off the cliff there in the very opening, when we first see the dragons, he kind of stumbles a little bit before he gets his footing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're, like, showing that he's weakened, you know, he's really tore up.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's really what we're going to get. I had no fucking clue that he was going to not just get killed, but get killed the way he did. I mean, just bam, bam, bam. God. I mean,
that was,
it just kept going.
It hurt. Ugh, it was so rough.
That hurt.
Yeah, I did not like that.
That's Jon's dragon. That's not the dragon that was named after the D-bag Viserys. That was Rhaegal.
Yeah.
That was Jon's dragon. That was Jon's mouth.
Yeah, it's not okay. It is not so okay.
Cersei has always been at the top of my list of people that gotta go, but Euron keeps climbing higher and higher on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Ugh.
So rough, man. So rough.
How do you guys feel about Bronn?
Oh my God, Bronn. Jeez. I think Bronn was pretty smart in this episode. I didn't like it. I did not like it. Like
his he's attitude. Playing the odds.
But yeah,
he's playing the odds.
He's
man.
Handling it very strategically. Yep. He's like, listen, I could fucking kill you both right now, but I'm gonna go into hiding because you're gonna give me Highgarden. did I say that before? Bronn for Highgarden? I think that was
yes. What I shouted right? that at my wife. I go, Duncan was right. Look at that shit.
Bronn for Highgarden. Yeah.
I was like, that fucking called it, Duncan. I was like, that was badass.
Thank you. Thank
and the crazy thing is, Bronn and Jaime talked about Highgarden right after the Lannister army defeated Highgarden. Right. And Jaime's like, oh no, what? The Dragon Queen could sweep in and take it from you. So just leave it be for now.
And I think in the previous episode, that's what you and, Rachel were, I think, talking about, and then you're like, wouldn't that be cool if Bronn got it? You know, like just kind of a...
Yeah. Even a broken clock is right, you know, every once in a while.
But will he get it? That's the question. I mean, I think that he's still going to show up. Like, I don't think he's done. Like
Bronn?
I think there's still some hero in him that we don't know.
I think so too.
I think they're misleading us on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves both of them.
Speaking about misleading us on purpose, let's talk about last week's episode just for a second. The Viserion thing with Jon yelling, go, go, go. What do you guys think about that? I want to know because I've heard so many people poo-pooing the theory and then other people who are like, yeah, it's like it makes perfect sense. What do you think, Johnny?
I'm a Star Wars fan, so I think everything happens for a reason, and I'm on the more the go, go, go wagon, but the logical side of me is still trying to map that out in my head, like where she got like the berserker, you know, I mean, what is the distance between the Godswood? I mean, we saw the dragon was guarding the doorway to it, but we also saw on the map how massive that area is.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen her move quick, you know, when she was running from the waif. I mean, she was hauling ass. So, I mean, that felt like 10 minutes, but really probably if you clock that screen time when she's running through that market, she's hauling ass. And we really don't, you know how Game of Thrones is, like how long was that dragon welling up before it was going to let go on Jon, you know, and when did that moment happen versus the impact of the blade? Like I hope that it's intentional, that it comes out later that like, no, man, that was Jon like sacrificing himself so Arya could go.
I agree.
So I'm
what about
on,
you?
I'm on the go, go, go bandwagon.
What do you think, Zach, down there?
I don't know. Over here. I'm pretty skeptical. I mean, I don't have you were listening to it on your super duper mixer headphones.
The only reason I said that is because so many people were like, oh, he doesn't say it. He doesn't say it. And I'm like, dude, I freaking hear it, you know?
Captions are wrong all the time.
Yeah, I mean, when Lyanna was whispering to Ned, they did not show us what she said. When Peter Baelish handed the girl a coin and she said, sorry, your time's up, they didn't show us what either of them said. So it's precedented that they use subtitles to throw us off from the truth.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I've listened to it, you know, four or five times, and it just sounds like he's yelling. So I'm not saying it definitely didn't happen. I'm just very skeptical.
Sure.
And we didn't get any confirmation about it. We didn't get Arya say, hey, thanks for distracting the undead dragon.
Yeah. I thought it would have been funny if Arya was like, oh my God, I never would have been able to get to Bran if you hadn't distracted that dragon for me. Thank you so much. Yeah. I can't believe you saw me. And he's like, I didn't see you. You know, like he was just killing himself. That would have been hilarious.
Everybody's right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What about you, Princess Sarah? What do you think?
there.
Well, I hear go, go every time I watch it, but I wish I would have just seen him look over or do something right before. Right, I like right, it. Right. It helps me get through the episode
some kind
a little
of head
better.
Moment from him.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, like, when he was back, I wanted to see his eyes move, and I've tried to kind of, like, will it to happen still.
It makes so much story sense, though. I mean, like, that sacrifice, he's been busting his ass to try to get through that doorway for, like, the last few minutes, and he sees her just fly out of, you know, the main hall across the battlement, the tops of the roofs or whatever. Oh, shit, she can do it. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's...
People are saying, like, he doesn't know she's a faceless man, but we don't know that. You know, things happen on screen, off screen. You know?
Yeah.
But let's get back to this episode.
Speaking of this episode, it's a good segue, because this episode, we've been asking ourselves, do Sansa and Arya know? Has Bran already told them? We found out, no, Bran did not.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So that was kind of nice confirmation of that.
Right, we had speculated that Arya had said when she hugged Jon, don't forget that you're our family too. You know, that she knew he was a Targaryen, which would have given it like a narrative weight, because she knows, and she's like, you don't know yet, but when you find out, don't forget. But apparently, like, what the fuck was she talking about? If she didn't know he was a Targaryen, why the fuck would she say that to him?
All right, so I got a little qualm with this episode on that. I know that they obviously, like, writing 101, and I write a bunch of scripts for my thing, and you don't ever want to over-explain something to somebody or tell the audience to listen to something they already know. But damn it, why did they cut away? I wanted to see those reactions so bad from the sisters. I was like, what? No!
Yes. I know,
my wife's on the couch freaking out, like, why did they cut away from that? I'm like, because they don't want to tell the audience the same thing twice, but that's stupid. I want to hear it twice right now.
We want to see their reactions. We kind of saw Sansa was just standing there looking at the dragons as they're flying, you know, thinking about Jon, like, he's one of them. And I couldn't believe that she broke her, like, she swore a vow, you know, she broke it so quick. Damn!
But, in her defense, and everybody knows that listens to this in my comment, I am not a Sansa fan. Never really have been.
Even though she's a redhead.
Like, I still, yeah.
Fake redhead,
fake.
As you say.
Anyway, but even though, outside the show, not Sansa Stark's a real redhead. Not Sophie Turner. There we go.
yeah, there you go.
Anyway, but I've always thought there's something dark about her coming that we don't know. And I will give her props in this episode. I think she dispelled that. And by doing that, it was because she broke that lie. Because she's like, what if someone's better, Tyrion? Like, Tyrion, you're smart, you're manipulative, or you can get in there, you can talk sense to people. We need you right now. You need to get my brother on this throne, because that bitch is crazy. You know, you know it. So we'll see.
We will see. I mean, I was surprised that Jaime almost got himself killed by Bronn. You know, like, all he had to do is keep his mouth shut. And he was like, a cutthroat will never hold High Garden. I was like, Jaime, shut the fuck up, dude. Like,
what kind of shoe-in-ass dialogue was that?
Yeah, right.
I mean, everything Jaime's been through, like, that just seems like some line he would have said in season one. Like, at this point, he doesn't feel that way about Bronn. I mean, I didn't think he did, I guess. I don't know. That really fucking chicken fried their whole, like, Dorne trip and everything. Like, that just ruined it for me.
Right.
Yeah, but I love that Jaime stood up to him after he socked Tyrion in the nose.
Oh, yeah,
Jaime,
that's true.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, exactly.
He stands up for his little brother, even though he's at a serious tactical disadvantage with the busted hand, and Bronn's got the freaking crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
And Bronn showed his tactical skills by he reloaded that crossbow.
Oh,
so fast.
Yeah.
So fast.
That's right.
Because the show has made a big deal about, well, a crossbow is at a disadvantage because it takes so long to reload. It's like, I mean, not take quite as long
crossbow
if you got the skills.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah. What about that line there? What are you doing with that? Like,
like, oh, yeah.
I thought Tyrion would say that.
Right
because,
off.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how those boats were getting shredded by those ballistas, man.
Like, do you think the heads of those arrows or bolts or whatever you want to call them, I mean, they're probably as big as the heads of the arrows are probably as big as a freaking basketball.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's the diameter
velocity they're flying at?
The velocity and the mass of those things.
Yeah, lots of inertia.
Well, if you ever look at how those boats are made, like how much stress is put on that wood to bend them. I mean, and once you freaking bust that, I mean, that's just, the explosions.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's like just watching what a cannonball does to the side of one of those ships, usually. Mm. You know, it doesn't just punch a little hole in it. It fucking explodes it because all that tension of the wood's just sitting there.
Damn, I didn't even think about that. That's wild. It's like one little piece breaks and the whole thing just whoosh.
Yeah.
At least that, you know, structural integrity is just destroyed.
Ty John on Facebook says, any chance we see Drogon in battle armor, I guess he's in with armor to repel the scorpion attacks a la Battle Cat from He-Man. Yeah. Oh my God, they need Gendry to further earn his lordship, create some dragon armor, a saddle and safety chain for Dany, and some armor for Dany.
The old Targaryens knew that, like, Balerion and everything, they had armor and safety chains and saddles. Like, I find it ridiculous.
How much time has she had to study all that? I mean, she hasn't.
Right.
But
I mean, she's just barebacking it.
You jump on a fucking dragon, and you're holding on to these little spindles, and, like, you don't think, I should need a saddle for this. It's probably a good idea. You know, I should strap myself onto this somehow. It's logic.
Just said throw a chain underneath you.
And Tyrion, this episode, talks about how great that Bran's wheelchair is, and they talk about the history of that stuff. So Tyrion needs to get busy designing a dragon saddle.
But I don't think we'll see one hit before this battle. I mean, this thing's about to go down in the next 5 minutes.
I had predicted a long time ago when Tyrion made that saddle for Bran, like you said, I thought that was foreshadowing a dragon saddle, but we haven't seen that yet, unfortunately. Probably not going to.
Yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, before we move on too far past that one, I think that, again, Bronn's that line that I'm like, why did Jaime say that? And I just think that's that extra bit of the writer's pushing you to believe that Bronn is literally betraying these guys at that moment by Jaime being like, this just cutthroat. Like, yeah, he is a cutthroat.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this battle is going to happen, and right as they're losing, that's going to be maybe the time that John and them are riding in quicker. Like, they get a raven and they, like, try to book it to get there at the end of this whatever's going to happen that we're left off at. Mm-hmm. And then I really see, like, Bronn's already ahead of the fucking curve. Cause as soon as I don't think he walked out of that door, leaving the Lannister brothers there and just like, all right, I'm going to go chill over here now. I think he started heading back south.
Right.
And,
yeah.
I mean, he's got to be there to kind of see what's going to go down. That way he could at least take both of the Lannister corpses if they die and be like, look, see, I did it. See, I told you.
Right,
I did
it.
Look.
The last minute.
Yeah. I was wondering where he would go to, like where he went.
I think he's going to be a hero.
South? I hope so, man.
I don't think he's going to live. I think he's going to be a hero.
Oh,
they're setting him up right now to just be this piece of shit that he's, like, not been this whole series. He's always been a badass and, like, I don't care about people. I care about me. Prove that wrong. You know, like, over and over and over, him trying to say it's just about him, but he does things to protect people. I don't think he's reached his limit on that. And I could... as good as writers that are on the staff for this, there's no way they're just going to take this character and just kick him right to the curb here at the end. I mean, if they do, that's really, well, I mean, they just did it to Ghost, so maybe they will. Never mind.
Too soon, sucks. Man. Too soon.
Ouch.
Ghost.
Johnny Stewart asking about an episode name on Amazon Prime. It still just says Game of Thrones 71.
Interesting.
Well, last week we did the HBO Go app.
That's what I looked on.
Yeah.
I looked on HBO now.
And it's not there
yet. More internet research.
Michael Darwin says, think Euron heard Tyrion talk about the baby. How would he know if he only just banged Cersei in episode one? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's a clue that she was already pregnant. You're being played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, you're right. It's not there yet. That's fucking weird. Because about this time we were talking last week is when we got the long night.
Yeah.
Right.
Very weird. I don't know
Google
what is going on.
Well,
it's
almost 9 o'clock here, so it hasn't even come on.
That's probably what it was. I think last week we talked a little later because of how long the episode was.
Yeah,
We'll probably know in the next 10 minutes. We'll keep you.
Nothing.
too. Keep my HBO Go app open and keep refreshing it.
I cannot get Facebook to show me
Dragon Brains.
Dragon Brains. Oh, that was so brutal.
Oh, shut your mouth.
So you're talking about sorry. So you're talking about Facebook, Duncan. Like, I got the comments are loading real time, but the video just showed where I am, like, Sarah just showing up. Like, it's that far behind. I keep refreshing it.
What?
And when I do it goes back to the, now, it's not that way on my phone, though. It's only on the desktop version. It's really weird.
Yeah, on desktop, like, I'm caught up now on desktop.
Yeah, on my mobile version, I can see us talk, like, there's a couple of seconds lag, you know, about 15 seconds lag, it looks like. But when I restart the live stream on Facebook, it starts off with the stream coming soon or stream starting soon thing. And then it just starts over.
John really Showank is asking about Nymeria in the chat. You guys think we're going to get to see Nymeria this season?
Yes, no. They have to bring her back.
Sir Arya comes riding into King's Landing on Nymeria.
Hey, well, you're.
I don't know about all that.
I mean, they're going down the King's Road, going south. They're going to go back through that area where she first saw her. I mean, that could happen.
Wolf Country. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Oh, some Sarah Larkham says perhaps Dracarys will be the name of this episode. Maybe, but
epic.
We didn't get any actual Dracarys action.
True. Oh, man.
Or it's going to be called pregnant because we got the confirmation of Gilly and Cersei by their baby bumps.
Knocked up.
yeah, there you go. It was so sad that that Missandei got killed. I mean, the whole time we were all expecting Grey Worm to be killed. You know, when they're zooming in on the kiss outside of Winterfell and Grey Worm goes off to battle. And we're like, they're talking about going to Noth after the war ends. And we're like, fuck, Grey Worm's dead. And we're all thinking that because he's the one that's going out to fight, right? But they switched it on us and made Missandei get captured. That was shocking, man, when we saw Missandei be captured.
And then
showed them, like, looking at each other on the ship. They were kind of, they were happy. And I was like,
Yeah, exactly.
The Last of the Starks.
Yeah, Shay Yap says the episode is called The Last of the Starks.
Oh, that's cryptic as hell.
That's ominous.
Wow.
Super ominous.
I'm trying to remember when that phrase came up in the episode.
When they were all talking.
Was it Arya?
Wasn't it Arya?
When they learned the truth, I think.
When they're the gods. We're the last of the Starks.
I've never been a Stark. Mm. But I'm not a Stark. now the chat's working.
Confirmation by David Nutter 2 minutes ago, The Last of the Starks.
Dude, you called it. You said, we'll probably know within the next 10 minutes. Glive in.
Great impression.
That's exactly how I sound.
Oh, man. Corey, the last High Gardener of High Garden, says, my very own red woman just got home, so gonna go watch again. Thanks, GOM team. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us live, brother, and thank you for joining us on Patreon. If you guys want to support the show, now is perfect time. Everybody just donates $1. GOM will be here forever. And this production costs a lot more than it makes, so I encourage you to to support if you'd like to. We'd appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Podcasts are not cheap.
Yeah. What else happened? What are you guys thinking about? How about Sansa
Lizzie
and the Hound?
Irizarry Alvarez.
Okay, go ahead.
I wonder what Dany told Jorah when she was whispering in his ear on the pyre. I think.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Fuck you, I'm sorry.
She kind of said goodbye and whispered.
Oh, she also mentioned that the intro sequence was updated to show the destruction of Winterfell, which
I noticed that.
I missed it because I was hopping out of the shower and rushing.
And did you see that the tiles, they were blue and then they fade back to like a blackish looking color?
No way.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the tiles coming from the wall, they start off blue and then like right when they got around Winterfell, they like lose color. So I was like, shit, like the whites are gone. But they still made a path of destruction, but that's where it stopped. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Larkham says, I love you. To who? To us. We love you too, Sarah. Thank you. Sarah, down under. And in Australia, mate, right? Right-o.
Aye.
Thanks for listening, mate. Tormund?
Tormund had a fantastic episode. Just all the drunken revelry and sloshing.
Oh, yeah, just spilling shit everywhere.
Yeah, I'll do it right now. He's like, oh, just spill water in honor of Tormund. Why not, right? Fuck it, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love
Tormund. Are they going to go back? Well, yeah, he said that he was going to take him through Castle Black. So I was wondering if he was going to resettle the gift or if he was going to go north of the wall. Since there's no threat up there, might as well go north of the wall.
Yeah, so, that's what I was thinking. I think he meant he was going north of the wall because he said, we're going back home to the real north, you know, and John's like, this is the north. So if he's not referring to the north as we know it, he's got to be talking about the real north, you know, beyond the wall is what I would assume.
So is anybody a little let down by that? Like, they got this far and he's not going to, like,
help with the battle in King's Landing?
Down south to help him fucking kick this bitch's ass?
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. That would have made a lot of sense. Too bad that he didn't decide to do that. But maybe...
I mean,
maybe
I don't know how much of the wildlings are left. If it's just old people, women, and children at this point. I mean, I'm sure a ton of them got slaughtered. So maybe it's like, man, if any more of the men get killed, we're extinct, so I gotta go back. I just wish it had been more phrased like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just kind
of keeping
a running tally.
I think that's what he was getting at, but...
Yeah, keeping a running tally of who, all the different players that could come back and be the Gandalf ex machina. Savior in a dire situation. Knights of the Vale, they're always a candidate. This new Prince of Dorne, Yara and her fleet, the wildlings Bronn ex machina.
So Sarah clarifies. Yeah. Sarah Larkham clarifies. She doesn't love us. She wasn't telling us she loved us. She's saying, Danny said, I love you to Jorah. We still love you anyway. Lady Sarah. Anthony J. Aliquin has a prediction. Before Cersei is killed, Qyburn turns her into the Night Queen. LOL.
Oh my God.
If you could figure that shit out.
Dude. Because he's got magic behind him. Push that through her chest.
Yeah, he jams her with the dragon glass.
Be fucking awesome, dude.
How cool would that be? Yeah, that'd be so funny.
So then Arya gets to kill the Night King and the Night Queen.
Welcome, with Andy Driscoll. Yeah, with the pointy end. Oh, man. I liked how when Sansa was talking with the Hound, and he was like, if you'd left King's Landing with me, none of this, you know, none of that would have happened. Ramsay, all that madness. And she's like, if none of that had happened, I'd still be a little bird, you know, which is true.
I stayed a little bird
forever. And that's, you know, that's an important life lesson, that the things that happen to you make you who you are. And you should never want to change the past, because you're always learning from it. I mean, unless something like really horrible happened, like Bruce Wayne, you know, like I bet he would change the past if he could, you know what I mean? I love how you got this Renaissance stuff all over the place, Johnny.
Yeah. They're trying to make it a little bit nicer in here, more presentable. Foam.
If you guys haven't listened to Sirenicide before, definitely check out Sirenicide, the serialized horror drama. Johnny and Johnny Stitches and I are both on it. Johnny, it's his brainchild. But yeah, it's
been
a
writing
fun
scripts
show.
Like galore. I'm halfway through the final, so because I got 8 more scripts to write, and then I'm done for a while.
Yeah, big season
again.
4 finale, man. Season 4, the final season coming up. That's exciting.
I don't know if I said this before on here. I might have said one of the other episodes, but like our season was supposed to come out in June, and I postponed it could see how Game of Thrones ends, because you never know, like, oh, wow.
Inspiration.
Don't do that. They fucked up. Or, oh, wow, that was amazing. Let's see how can that influence. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see how that ended, and I wanted to see how Endgame was. So I can't push it all the way to episode 9, or I would have.
So speaking of Tormund and his fun this episode with the sloshing and the drunken, you know, stuff, he had a funny line to John. He's talking to, I don't remember what the context was, but he said, you weigh as much as 2 fleas fucking. And man, when they were at that big celebration afterwards, Tormund's all drunk and they're all like reveling around Jon about what a badass he is, how he survived death and became a king and he's earned the respect of the wildlings and all this. And much as Dany has been alone and isolated throughout her whole life, I noticed that during this celebration, she was sitting there by herself. You know, John is surrounded with people. Tormund is partying. Jaime and Brienne are doing their thing. Davos is hanging out. Tyrion's hanging out with Jaime. By the end of it, Dany was just sitting there alone, you know, with Varys just kind of lurking in the background like Uncle Fester.
Literally.
The bald head, right? So that was pretty interesting. It was sad seeing her, having that feeling of isolation and nobody backing her, just witnessing it and witnessing, knowing the truth about John and seeing them follow him and backing him. It sucked, but it was interesting. Sabrina Cruz is speaking in the chat saying, I'm hoping they follow the Valonqar prophecy. And that would be really cool. And welcome to the chat, Sabrina. Awesome to have you here. Sabrina is the lead singer of a great band called Seven Kingdoms.
That's epic, dude.
That's cool.
Ghost. This is already a thing on Twitter. It says, give me this spinoff, Tormund and Ghost.
Yeah, that would be an awesome spinoff. That's a great idea, dude. And we could get Hound and Arya, too, from their trip back from Winterfell down to King's Landing.
Yes.
But I wanted to mention Sabrina's band, the Seven Kingdoms. You guys need to check out her band. If you like metal, if you like Game of Thrones, awesome metal band. Check it out. I've played their music on our show before. The Fire is Mine, I think the song is called. It was about when... the dragons are born and only death can pay for life. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. It's a really good song. You guys should definitely check that out. Nice. Thanks for joining us, Sabrina.
Yeah, Ghost is definitely missing an ear.
Yeah.
Most of his ears
I missed that. Shoot off. Ugh, yeah.
He was all stretched up down the side too.
Yeah, it's amazing that he survived. Yeah. Out in the thick of it, like running up at the front lines. Growling, snarling, and jumping into the fight, and then he didn't return with Jorah. I was really, really worried that he didn't make it, but knowing that he survived is amazing. Basically, how the hell did he survive? Yeah. Sarah Larkham, Tormund mentioning a madman or a king to Jon, while Dany sitting alone with a forced smile. Ooh, yeah, it doesn't necessarily bode well for Dany. I'm not comfortable with this rift that's forming between John and Dany. I don't like it. I don't like her. I mean, it's to be expected, you know. So like, they had to have this drama here. It was all leading up to it, but still, it's not comfortable. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, before we go too far,
John is not accepting the.
Oh no, I was gonna say if she could just link the band in the comments so we can give it a like.
Post a link in the comments for Seven Kingdoms, Sabrina, if you want. And if you want, I'll be glad to share stuff on the page too as well. If you got a new song or something, that'd be great.
I'm curious now.
Oh yeah, Johnny, you'll love it, man. For sure. What else is there that you guys want to talk about from this episode?
Sandor had
really not okay with the aunt stuff.
With Dany being his auntie.
Oh yeah.
You think like, that's what it was?
And it's like he kind of realized.
That's not what I was
about
thinking.
That. Like, was it the guilt over like what's gonna happen? Like trying to be passionate, or was it just the, you're my aunt?
I don't remember the context exactly, but I thought it had something to do with her attitude.
He does pull away. He's just like.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting.
I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, I thought it was the whole situation.
I think it's a combination of it.
The reason I bring it up is because Amy, my wife, she said the same thing. She's like, oh, he's like, it's his aunt. Like, it's hitting him kind of thing. I'm like, is that it?
That's how I thought it.
Yeah.
And it might be, because later on we get the exposition between the two.
True.
Between, Varys
and Tyrion.
Tyrion. Well, they've been doing it forever.
Never stopped Targaryens before. Yeah, but he grew up in Winterfell. Is it common for people to marry their aunts in Winterfell? But it doesn't seem like too out of place because Lysa Arryn had suggested that Sansa marry Sweet Robin. So it could, be like not too taboo. Jesse Blair. Hey, Jesse. Jesse says, did y'all notice how Bran snapped his head around and looked at something while talking to Tyrion? And at the same time, I thought I heard a crow call. It was like he was alerted to something. I missed that entirely.
No, I caught that. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't write it down as a note, but I was like, what the hell was the point of that? Like, it caught me off guard. But I mean,
I wrote down how Bran just keeps saying the same things over and over again.
I'm he's a one note character for sure at this point.
Yeah, Sandor
kind of show a hint of emotion. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. Sandor was no holds bar in his conversation with Sansa. He said, what'd he say? I heard you got broke in.
Yeah.
And he said, I heard you got broke in. Bro. I was like, oh, come on, bro.
Damn, that's, dude.
That's what he does. He tries to push people away. I mean, when they don't go, you know, that's just his way of trying to see if they really do care about him. Because the shooter went, you know what? Fuck you. And walked off. And he was like, knew it, bitch.
And it was after that she reached his for his hand and like, clasped his hand, and like they had like this moment between their eyes where I don't know, they have a connection, you know. I was really happy to see them reunited and to have it be a positive interaction where they both left smiling. Mm-hmm. You know, that was really nice. And I do believe that Sandor is a virgin as well, like you said, how he tries to push people away. I think that would be the case. Like that I don't want to say whore because I don't think she was a whore, but that girl came up, you know, the one takes Tormund away, and then she's hitting on the Hound, and he's like, "Arr, like get away from me." It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that Bran did show a hint of emotion there for a second, though. Like, oh my God, is he about to tell them? You know, like his eyes kind of widened a little bit before he gave the nod to go ahead. There was like, oh shit, he's about to just straight do this. And then that's when John pauses and like, and then he gives the dialogue. But before the dialogue, he just has this, like his eyes actually got wide for a second. I was like,
I thought it
hell?
Was because he thought John wasn't going to tell them. And he was surprised by that. I thought that leading up to it, like John was like, I'm not a Stark. And he didn't continue. And Bran was like, really? You're going to just stop right there? You're not going to finish that thought with what you really are? You know? And he kind of like, and then John looks at him. He's like, it's your choice. You know? I thought he was surprised he didn't tell him yet.
I didn't think he was going to. I felt for a moment that like Bran's going to be like, because he doesn't feel like he's Bran anymore. Like, I don't know if these two girls you're about to tell them can handle this, but hey, bro, whatever. Go for it. Your choice. That's what I pulled out.
I just wanted to see their reactions.
How do you guys think Bronn? Sorry, go ahead, Sarah. What'd you say?
Oh no, I was just saying that was a bummer that we didn't see the reaction right after that. I was like,
too,
yeah. How do you guys think Bronn got into Winterfell? I mean, goddamn, he snuck right
Bronn,
in.
Bronn, man.
Yeah, that was.
He
can
impregnate any bitch.
Even on his own, without 10 good friends, 10 good men. That's funny.
I'll be right back, guys. One of my dogs. I hear him out there.
Do
I'll
it
right
up,
back.
Brother. Do it up. Oh man, Sansa telling the Hound that Ramsay was killed by his hounds was priceless.
Sarah
yes, Larkham
and then
says.
The Hound.
Oh,
totally. The Hound actually chuckles and laughs. I was like, oh my God, a legit smile from the Hound.
She's like, hounds.
I kept wondering if this was going to come back up.
What's
the
that?
Hound saying to Sansa, you'll be glad of the hateful things I do someday.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He rode south and Sansa's still in Winterfell. So, I mean, when I think of that, I'm thinking of him defending her or, I don't know, something. But who knows what's going to happen.
You're
two more hour plus episodes.
Yeah, you're on point with the images showing what you're talking about, man. Good job. I like that. So what are you guys thinking just overall of this season so far? Is it living up to your expectations or is the hype justified? How do you think they're doing with all these storylines now that they're not using book material and it's like, you know, they're just making it up as they go, basically. What do you think? How about you, Sarah?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to take it as it goes, honestly. I don't want to have too high expectations.
Sure.
The internet, I'm trying to stay away from that as much as I can now because it's ruining it for me.
Oh,
so much negativity.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how divided the fandom has gotten as this season has progressed. It's pretty sad. But I mean, yeah. You know, when there's so many people with so many different opinions, and there's so like the expectations have been built up so high, and there's so much anticipation, how are you possibly going to make everybody happy? You know what I mean? Like, it almost makes like, has there ever been a series that has ended where everybody's happy with the end? Like, people hated the ending of Sopranos. People hated the ending of Lost. You know, all these big famous series. I guess Breaking Bad, people like the ending of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the last really big show that most people say completely nailed it.
Yeah. Sabrina says they're definitely curveballing us. And Sarah Larkin says that they're curveballing us.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. All over the place. It was, speaking of the curveballs, like we mentioned, Missandei dying instead of Grey Worm. We haven't mentioned how brutal it must have been for Grey Worm to have to witness that whole thing. First, he tells her to get to the skiff to be safe, and then he swims to shore, and he's trying to find her. Discovering that she's been kidnapped must have just been horrible. I was not expecting, like, if anybody was, like, on team safe, you know, I thought Missandei was safe. I was not expecting Missandei to be beheaded by the mountain this season. If anybody predicted that, I'll send you a dollar, I swear.
Yeah, for real.
And then you can just donate it to Patreon.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was bonkers. And when we're outside of King's Landing there and we see all those ballistas all set up, Drogon looked like he was in range of those guns. I thought that if they fired, yeah, right? They looked like they could have hit him. It was dangerous. I don't want to see Drogon die.
You guys, I wouldn't have had him near any of that.
Right. Do you guys think he'll live, or do you think we're going to end Game of Thrones with no dragons? Like,
oh my God.
Like, in order for the wheel to be broken and peace to come over the Seven Kingdoms, like, all the dragons may have to be dead because they're such a dangerous creature to be around, killing little girls and eating all the flocks and everything like that, you know? Like,
I think it's symbiotic. My vote is the dragon lives. If Danny dies, the dragon will die. Like, I think that they'll go down together.
I could see that. Oh, man. Crazy.
Win or you die, Game of Thrones.
There you go. There you go, Princess Sarah. You win or you die. Game of Microphones, too. You play the Game of Microphones, you win or you die.
Yeah. It's been a battle.
The technical battles this week, oh my God, like, the reason we were having issues with the live stream previously was because software malfunctions, and like, I've just been struggling to get all this stuff figured out, and like, I put all this work into editing the YouTube videos, and then it just won't export. Like, what's the point of Adobe Premiere Pro if you make videos and you can't export? Yesterday I was on computer online with a guy named Shubham from Adobe support for like 4 hours, getting Adobe Premiere like fixed on my computer, I think. So we should be good. Episodes will be coming out faster now, hopefully. And I apologize for the technical difficulties from the previous live episodes.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Definitely. Anything else you guys want to mention? Mm-hmm. What else is there? So much happened.
I really like this episode where it is in the season. It's like, it felt appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like it didn't answer all the questions, but it helped us progress.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So many good things happening in this episode. I don't think I was disappointed really at any point of this episode at all. Everything was so good. Like, just starting off with that scene with the funerals, and like all those huge pyres over everywhere, and just the scale of it was so impressive and just intense.
Well, it started off as this drinking and fucking fest, and it ends being one of the most tense episodes we've had in a long ass time, like heart rate up. I mean, we just went through that massive battle last week, but I think because there was so much going on at once, you got chances to break, like the little library scene. This one went from like, just like this, the boom. I mean, your heart rate just shoots up and it doesn't go back down.
Really?
Like the moment that dragon dies, it's like full fucking throttle. It's like, just, oh my God, what am I watching? What are they doing? It's like the Red Wedding all over again. PTSD. What are we doing? It was Game of Thrones, man.
As soon as Drogon got killed, I was like, we're not safe. We're not safe anymore. This is everyone. It's open now. Open game.
Right. And Dany starts diving on Drogon down towards Euron's fleet. And you see that every one of those ships has those ballistas on it. I was like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Why didn't they let him go at that moment? Why would they have not just shredded her right there?
They tried. They just boom, 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 all missed him as he...
There was a lot.
Careened off.
No, I mean before she pulled back.
When they hit Rhaegal.
The stare down, I guess they were like, no, we can't fire until Euron does. But like all those other boats, I would have just been like, fuck it. I'm going to end this war right now. Yeah, like if I was one of the other guys, man, and one of the other ones.
Yeah, hit that.
Because this boat wasn't the only boat with one.
Yeah, they all had him on the prow.
Bill killed Daenerys. Who's Bill?
Sarah Larkin says, if Drogon dies, Dany and Cersei have lost all their children, which is an interesting parallel between the two. That would suck. Yeah. Unless Dany's pregnant. But if she was pregnant, like if Jon got her pregnant, she's been bouncing around on that dragon a lot. Like, it's not good for that fetus. You know what I mean?
No, you can. It's Game of Thrones, man. You can drink. You know, you can do whatever you got to in this universe with a baby.
Fetal alcohol syndrome doesn't exist in Westeros.
Exactly, our rules of anatomy do not apply.
Yeah, genetics as well, as George has discussed before.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm not a big Sansa fan either, but I think she was right about in the library discussion about the army and the forces and the battle plan is like. Everybody needs, you know, I was like, let's call it a fortnight.
Yeah, time to recoup a little bit.
Recoup, regroup.
That was tense, too.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
And she's 100% right, because when you see Cersei all lined up like that, she knew it was going to happen. Like, as soon as we kill that dragon, they'll be here. You know, I mean, they're playing right into their game. Mm-hmm. You know, just like they did with Ramsay and everything else.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, nailed that. Good comparison. What else is there? Anything else you guys want to mention?
I'm worried about Sansa a lot.
Worried about what?
I'm worried about Sansa. I'm worried she's going to do something very bad.
Sansa?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. There's something dark coming.
That. Yeah.
Ooh. Dark Phoenix.
That's scary.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix. did you see that? Is that out yet? I don't know.
No, I'm just referencing the trailer and all. I'm not that excited about that movie.
Yeah, I thought it was fitting that Davos was the one who stood up to give a toast to Gendry when he was legitimized, which was a really cool
moment. It's like return of the Baratheons. He just loves Baratheons.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, Davos saved him. Davos saved him from Melisandre and Stannis' crazy machinations.
So, what is the status of Davos right now? Because he's not the Hand of the King anymore because Jon has bent the knee. So, he could just go with Gendry and be like, here, I'll be your advisor at your castle.
Oh, that's such a cool idea, man. I have no doubt that that's going to happen.
Like, the next spinoff.
That is going to happen. I'm backing your call on that 100%. Davos has always been with the Baratheons, and he has a personal connection with Gendry. Jon.
Yeah, he saved him.
Yeah, like Tyrion says, he doesn't anticipate Jon being in the North much from this point on. I mean, was Davos Jon's hand? Was he named Jon's hand?
Yeah.
Oh, right, but he's Jon's not king anymore. Right. Yeah. Derp. So, yeah, I see Davos going to Storm's End.
He did the most epic intro ever when he was his hand. This is Jon Snow, King in the North.
I think that was one of the things that shocked Jon when he was talking with Sam and learning the truth. He's like, the whole shebang, you know, Lord, protector of the realm, all the titles. And Jon's just like, I can't handle it. I'm just the King in the North.
Oh, what's Davos going to do when he hears about Missandei?
Oh, God. Mm. That's true.
He was smitten with her, remember? Yeah, like
things have changed around here at Dragonstone. yeah, that's really sad. Yeah, I think we should have a moment of silence for Missandei for like 5 seconds, just out of respect for Missandei. And Rhaegal. I can't believe Missandei's dead. And like, oh my god. Yeah, that was rough.
And it makes it so much heavier because, I mean, other than the dragon, there's not nothing to counter it. You know, like the Red Wedding, at least you're trying to sort out, you know, three people going at once. You know, Rob's love interest, then Rob, then his mom. And in the last episode, you had grieving for Theon, grieving, you know, for Beric, grieving for Jorah. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's just literally, I mean, she's the only, you know, of course, you know, speaking lines character other than Rhaegal, who obviously doesn't speak, that ate it. And so, I mean, it makes it that much heavier because that's all you're weighing on right now that you're thinking about. Yeah. I mean, the bad guys really came back in this episode for sure.
Definitely. Lord Bryson of House Wolf says, now Grey Worm has no weakness. Remember when they were in, after he was injured and Missandei, who's it's like, she called her his weakness and she was like, thanks. You know, like, no, it means I love you. It's like, when I was dying, you know, I was scared that I would never see Missandei of Noth again. Now that Missandei is gone, Grey Worm is going to lose his shit. He's going to be a wrecking ball potentially
No fear, no weakness.
I could see him being unleashed on like potentially even like a stealth secret mission. You know what I mean? To just go and do his thing and infiltrate or something. Like something big is going to have to happen with Grey Worm now.
Well, since we're right here towards the end of our talking points, let's talk about, are they going to have time for that in the next episode, or we're going to get like the, all right, it's on, fuck this. Like, is that what, I mean, I don't see them just like retreating around the bluff, you know, and then coming right back. This seems like mount the dragon. I'm pissed off. You just killed my woman. I'm coming in there.
Dude.
I mean, I don't think it's going to go their way.
He couldn't even look when the mountain started swinging the sword. I noticed Grey Worm was turned away, and his head comes off.
They played the whole thing on his face. It's like, mm-hmm.
What are your guys' predictions on like how this, like the next, like if we could went 10 more minutes in this episode when Daenerys turns around and starts walking, what do you think is going to happen from that moment?
God,
retreat or attack?
What do you think, Lord Zach?
I see Dany mounting the dragon, and hopefully she does something. Not completely irrational, but telling you, up, 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 up. Just fly away. Get above the clouds.
Whew. Yeah.
Come down from the top, baby.
What do you think?
I think the opening of the next episode is going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you are right. What about you, Princess Sarah? What do you think happens immediately after the camera cuts at the end of this episode?
I think Tyrion is going to see that she's seeing red and try to calm her down. I think she's going to be ready to.
Daenerys, wait, please don't attack. Imp slap. Mount the dragon. Sorry, I didn't cut you off. I couldn't resist the imp slap.
I know.
Oh,
I
that
set
sound,
it up
that's
like
what a broken nose sounds like.
I set it up just for you. I just think that they're going to have to try and calm her down. I don't know if she's going to make it to the point I can, you know, barrel down. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not going to be good.
I worry
folks.
That if she does that, it's going to be, bad.
I mean, imagine this visceral scene. Imagine John and all the people from the King's Road riding in on a battle that we like don't see.
Oh man. And just like riding in
like
on the destruction.
Danny's missing,
aftermath.
Dragon's missing, but there's bodies everywhere.
Damn,
I mean,
that would be hard.
It could go so many fucking ways, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sabrina
excited.
Says they have to be smart though, but Danny's visions from the House of the Undying are a clue. We saw King's Landing with the, you know, the throne room with the roof destroyed. with some particulate matter mm-hmm. covering it, whether it was ash or it was snow. It doesn't seem like it was, mm-hmm. you know, I mean,
it can't be snow now. Yeah.
Well, it could be, but not caused directly by the Night King, at least, because he's gone. If winter still hits south, I guess, because even...
But that's the thing, the winter is just, it only has to do with, like, the climate of the Essos or whatever, or Planetos?
I think it's a combination of both. Like, winter was here, and the Citadel had released the White Ravens, but then mm-hmm. the Night King came south and just exaggerated it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because Tormund... it really looked like it had gone back a lot on Winterfell. I mean, it was still winter there, but it didn't look like it did in the last few episodes.
Good point.
It looked like we Tormund had regressed back to... What's that?
Tormund talks about the winter storms. So he said he'll take the wildlings back through Castle Black.
Talking about
north of the wall.
Die down.
Once the winter storms pass or die down or something. So the winter weather is still coming. That's the new words of House Stark. Winter weather
is coming.
Doesn't quite have the same.
So does it, and I guess from the books and everything, I mean, does winter like go all the way down to Dorne? I mean, does it like coat the whole planet or?
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see it hitting Essos.
I think it at least hits King's Landing typically, but Dorne
is
pretty
tropical. Towards the end of Book 5 is snowing in River Run.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I've got a couple more chapters to go, but, you know, that's where we're at so far.
Oh, wait a second. You have a couple more chapters left to go in Book 5. Did you do the tandem read?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm done with Book 4.
I was about to remove you from the chat if you didn't do the tandem read. No, I'm kidding.
I did. I want to read it as one congruent story.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Gotta love the tandem read. So good. Oh, man. Lord Bryson of House Wolf says, when they showed Tyrion, I think her decapitated head and body were in the background, blurry. Yeah, when Tyrion is... seeing her body fall off of the wall down forward with the momentum of like the swing as she tumbles off was rugged. That was very shocking. That was a really shocking moment, like when Missandei was captured.
I thought she was gonna die in this show, but I thought it was gonna be like some freaking like her and Grey Worm together, like something of taking them out, you know, or at least him being taken out. I did not see her death coming like that at all.
Yeah.
That was total fucking shock.
Definitely, definitely.
I didn't think they were going to decapitate her. I was like, they're pretty high up, but if they push her, she's probably going to hurt her leg. She'll survive.
I thought she was going to jump or something.
I thought Cersei was going to do the deed herself for a second. Like,
yeah,
Mad
too.
Queen stuff.
She like, grabs her by the arm. I thought she was going to push her off the wall.
Yeah. Here, little brother.
Yeah. She had that's twice now she's had the opportunity to kill Tyrion and has not done it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The first time she needed him, the first time she needed him to tell Dany that her armies were going north. So part of the plan relied on that lie that Tyrion had to pass on, so she didn't kill him. But what's her motivation for not killing him here? You know what I mean?
Maybe talking
about the kids and the unborn baby.
I think we learned last season that she has some sort of love for this baby. I mean, or this baby brother. Like, it's not like Jamie at all, obviously. But, I mean, think about it. He murdered their mom in her eyes, the dad in their eyes. But why can't she? I mean, we talk about him, getting his cock pinched by her and all that, but why didn't she just stick a fucking pillow over him at that point?
Right.
You know,
that's
she could have.
Point. She could have offed him in the crib.
I think she still has feelings for him as a Lannister and as a family, you know, and she knows that he always loved her children. And so she's got respect for somebody like that. It's just not in like a clear cut, concise way, you know, like come beyond. It's not like that. She's got way more fucking hate and disdain for him, but she's got just enough love in her, like her conscious for him, not to fucking off him, or she would have. There'd been no reason not to do it right there.
Yeah, interesting.
She had nothing to lose, and all to gain, because she would have took out one of Daenerys's top advisors. I mean, she knows once they kill Missandei, the whole point of that is to provoke them. What else would provoke them? So, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody was like, why the hell did you just off Tyrion right there? You know, like,
yeah,
I mean, that would have been pretty epic to see 400 arrows fly through him.
I thought for a second to go. I had thought for a second that he was going to try to walk right in the doors to like go negotiate with her or something. I was like, what are you doing? Oh my God. But it was, he still got way too close for comfort. And then he gets up there and he's like, he's not even like projecting loudly for her to hear. I thought that was kind of interesting. He was just kind of talking.
Yeah, it'd be funny if she would have been like, what? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
You got a little voice.
Sabrina says power play for sure. Oh, man. Yeah.
She could always think that Tyrion might turn back or come back.
Oh.
Or, you know, maybe or the she's Lannister right.
part of him.
The power play thing, Sabrina's right. Like, she just, if I kill Tyrion right now, I can't watch him get all pissy once I off this girl right in front of him that he obviously cares for as part of his council or whatever.
Yeah, and Sabrina expands. She's forcing Dany into her Mad Queen action.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, God damn.
That was good, guys. I gotta have to call it, though.
Sounds good. Anybody else have anything to add, or should we wrap it up? I don't think I can't really think of anything else right now.
I think we're good.
All right, we'll call it a day then. That's the end of our show, guys. Make sure to check us out on. Thank you for listening, by the way. Thanks for joining us and for everybody in the chat.
Yeah.
Thanks. We're happy to read your comments and get them on air. Sorry if we missed any earlier on, but I couldn't get the Facebook chat to work right for a while. But yeah, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/GOM podcast, youtube.com/GOM Game of Microphones, I think. Tumblr, Game of Microphones, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, GOM podcast. You can always hit us up on the phone if you want to call us. We're happy to play your messages on the show. That's 813-JOFFREY. Pretty easy to remember, I guess. You can always email us as well, ravens@gameofmicrophones.com. And thank you guys so much for joining us. This was a great episode, and it's been really fun to be able to talk about it with all you guys. So thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday. And before that, we'll be back during the week with a deep dive covering this episode in detail.
Yeah.
And make sure to check it out on YouTube, because all the good stuff for us is on YouTube now, especially when we do the deep dive videos. Any comparisons we make or references we make, I put everything on screen so you guys can see it side by side. Or at least if we're just mentioning like an expression somebody has, we'll zoom in on it or accentuate it, highlight it. So I really recommend watching YouTube videos. If you like the podcast, it's a very enhanced version of the experience by watching it on YouTube. You get to see our expressions while we're talking about it. You get to see you know, all the good stuff as it's happening, all the cool videos and everything like that. So
yeah,
thank you guys for listening.
I can't usually do video, but I on this deep dive right now, I'm about 2 hours into the long night one.
Nice.
I was listening to audio, but I stopped like 3 or 4 times. I'd log into YouTube and like scroll to that point just to see like what you were bringing up. I was like, oh, this is cool. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you check out the comparison to the double radio source?
The Batwing,
Galactic
Nucleus, yeah.
And oh, the, or
yeah.
the coronal
oh, yeah,
mass
yeah.
ejection. That
yeah.
was cool. I like those. All right. Thank you to our wonderful co-hosts, Princess Sarah of House Von Daltren. Thank you so much for joining us this fine evening. Lord Zach of House Bruce. Thank you for coming all the way up from South Carolina. And from the great state of Texas, Archmaester Stitches from the Luminescent Citadel on the Siren Isle. Thank you guys so much for joining
us. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And we will see you all very soon. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.